This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to NWA Power Recap. It is for number 17 on the NWA Power Recap shows. Not recap shows, but the actual shows on YouTube. And I'll tell you the truth, it is the best show. Sorry, AEW. Sorry, WWE. It is the best show in wrestling right now. And I really am enjoying this, and I hope that you're enjoying it as well, and hope you're enjoying our recaps. This show is brought to you by placetobenation.com and on the Place to Be Wrestling feed. Every week, we'll drop it every Saturday morning. We really appreciate the response we're getting, and I hope you're enjoying. You know, I can't do this stuff alone, though. I do have my partner here. He does every damn show on this on placetobenation.com, all the feeds. He's everywhere. So I don't even know what to announce him as. But he's mainly known for being on the Place to Be podcast and the Main Event. The Main Event. Got to listen to that show. It's one of the best shows out there. Bringing in my co-host. My name's Joy Dribolino. I should have probably said that first. How did I forget that? But I'm going to bring in my co-host, Scott Criscolo. Double F. How are you?
Look at you introing a show, coming in hot. Look at that. It's been a long time.
Yeah,
we going to get you some free carrots and haircuts too?
little rusty on that, I have to be honest.
That's okay.
It wasn't one of my best openings. I got to get used to all this stuff. I haven't done it in a while. But you know what? I'm telling you right now, I am so excited. I look forward to the show every week because, you know, like I said, people are probably going to disagree with me, but I think it's the best wrestling show out there right now.
Well, I tell you something.
NWA Power. It's just I'm enjoying it more than I've enjoyed wrestling since the Attitude Era.
Well, I tell you, they really do a great job of the resources they have, and they, you know, they work really hard to put on an amazing product. And I think that Dave Lagana really understands
his production.
The
way he produces, I think really enhances the show. Remember, we're not seeing it live from the studio. You know, obviously they're probably doing it, recording in pieces and stuff like that, but the way he puts the whole thing together. Now, listen, I was thinking this when I was watching it the other day. I'm like, they're not the best wrestlers in the world. You're not going to get all this high flying and all the stuff that AEW is doing in New Japan and all that. You'll get occasional moves here and there, but just the psychology, the way they build it up, it's just that quaint feeling, you know, in the studio. And I know we all love the big arenas, and I'm one of them. I love all that. I love the glitz and the glamour sometimes, but sometimes just having that old school feel brings me back to my childhood, what I enjoyed watching with my father. My father's no longer with us, so it was something that he and I really enjoyed, probably just as much as any sport was wrestling. That was that one thing bond we had. And just remembering those days of watching, you know, on TBS, watching, you know, at 6:05 every Saturday and Sunday. I'm really enjoying it. And you know me for many years, almost 30 years now. You probably haven't seen me this excited about wrestling. I mean, you've been wanting me to come on and do a lot of podcasts and stuff like that, but I just was not that into the current product. I'm as big of a wrestling fan as I am. I was just not much into the current product, and I was the one that asked you if we could do this show, and we with you doing 9,000 podcasts already, I appreciate you taking the time.
And another one. And because of another podcast, we actually had to shift the show this week. So obviously you caught it. It came up on Sunday morning this week instead of Saturday. Because another podcast snuck up on me that of course
see,
I forgot.
I already screwed up.
And look what happened. I know, but that's okay. But look what happened. It was because of Andy Atherton, who tries to have more shows than I do. And it was because of a show he was on. But
It's like the battle. We're going to have to have a Potomania.
Stealing the world's bandwidth.
Versus Andy.
And then this coming week, the three of us are doing a show together. So we're recording one anyway.
Oh, man, we're on. But honestly, I appreciate you taking time. But like I was saying, you know me for 30 years. And, you know, the last time I was really, really into to wrestling as much as I am now with the NWA Powers, you know, basically from, you know, 98 to like 2001, 2002, somewhere around that.
Well, you were an Austin guy. I've said that to you all the time. You have a great expanse of wrestlers, but you were a Steve guy. And when Steve left, your heart for it kind of left, and that's fine.
Well,
there are a lot of guys,
but the shows were. I mean, it did change. I'm like your other podcast partner, JT loves Kurt Angle. Mm-hmm. You know, you and I love Ric Flair. I mean, Ric Flair, obviously, at that point, he did come back for a little while in the early 2000s. But, you know, I there's certain guys I do really, really love. I mean, I loved Eddie Guerrero. But this, I don't know, just something about this I'm enjoying, and I just hope they keep it up. And I just love the build. I love the video production of it. It's a nice compact hour show.
Yes, it is.
You know, I think right now the way our lives are, I don't know about sitting down watching 2 and 3 hours anymore of a show. I don't know many people that even do that anymore.
Well, you know what's funny? Streaming has made things so much easier in that aspect. Like, for instance, I know that the Wednesday Night Wars. We will get to this week's Power, folks. Just give us a second.
Well, you got to understand. We this is how we are. We do this in our regular life.
We do shows in the car. Yeah, we do shows in the car. Just like Justin and I do shows in the pool the day after St. Mary's. You and I do shows in the car. You know, streaming is a new thing now, and there's been a lot of talk, and we'll talk about it this week on Main Event, me, Nate, and Steve, that streaming has become a big thing. And things like WWE, who had some interesting things to talk about this week in their fourth quarter conference call about the future of streaming, was very eye-opening. For instance, the Wednesday Night Wars go on, of course, between NXT and AEW. I don't watch either of them live. Why bother? You can watch Dynamite on the TNT app without commercials. And it's a nice, tight hour and 32 minutes. So why bother watching it live and deal with the commercials? I don't.
No, it's true.
You know? And NXT hits the network the next day. So, you know, so that's what it is.
Well, and that's why, guys, we're not going to see the 6 and 7 ratings like you did during the Attitude.
No.
You can't judge. That's why ratings are a little skewed, and it's hard to understand, you know, where they're coming from when it comes to the ratings. But I don't know what it is. I you know, somebody asked me the other day, what do you love about the NWA panel? And I've mentioned some of the things just before, but I don't know. There's just something that
I think it's the basics.
Really, I look forward to it.
Yeah, I think it's the basics. I think it's stripped down good wrestling television, you know.
It is. I just love the, you know, when they get to the interview desk, and you could tell the promos are not, you know, they're not scripted. You could tell things are not scripted. They probably get bullet points. You know, let's cover this. Like, no, the old school days. And I know that WWE is starting to get a little bit back to that again. I think that's a little bit of Bruce Pritchard's influence. Maybe he's trying to get through to Vince, hey, maybe we need to let these guys be themselves a little bit. So they are trying to go back to that. But with this is just. And you know what it is? You don't hear a lot about the backstage politics either at NWA. I really don't even know who is dealing with all the stuff backstage, who the agents are. Or,
well, it's funny. I try to look at the credits after the show ends and look at the names, and I see names I recognize, but like, is a producer the booking? Is the person that's handling the creative, or are they just handling the television show itself? Like, I'm not sure. So whoever is, besides, look, and I don't think it's Billy Corgan, because he doesn't really have a clue. I think he's just kind of traffic copping things. He's not Pat Patterson. You know what I mean? So anyway, why don't we hop into the potatoes?
I think it's make sure, if you haven't subscribed to the NWA Power on YouTube, subscribe to it. I think I saw the when I was looking at it, I think they got almost 190,000 subscribers. You know, just really support this company. I think, you know what, they're not trying to be WWE. They're not trying to be AEW. They're just trying to have their own niche, and they're doing a really nice job. And let's get into it. Let's get into
It's the NWA YouTube page. Yep, number 17. It's the NWA YouTube page, and they do all sorts of different stuff too. They don't just do the power shows. They do other clips and montages and stuff. And right now, as you know, they are in a kind of a working agreement with Ring of Honor, and that's a big portion of the show today, this week, because if you're watching this right as it dropped on Sunday morning, today there's a big ROH show in Baltimore called Free Enterprise. We're going to talk about that today because the Nick Aldis, Marty Scurll saga takes a big step today. So we'll get to that. All right. So we begin before the actual open with clips from Hard Times between the Women's World Championship. Is it World Women's? Now I get confused. Is it World Women's or Women's World? How do they say it? I have to go to the bottom.
World
of the clip
Women's.
Here. It's Women's World. I remember changing it in my clip. It's Women's World
it's
Championship.
Women's World Championship.
Yes, okay. And it was from the Hard Times when Thunder Rosa defeated Allison Kay to win the title. Of course, they're playing that because that's the highlight match this week. Allison Kay executed her rematch. So Claus. So it will be Thunder Rosa and Allison Kay for the Women's World title at the end of the show. The big thing this week is that we have a new opening song. Of course, for the first two, quote, seasons of Power, it was Into the Fire by Dokken, which is a great song. And, of course, you heard it at the beginning of last week's program. But this week, at the beginning of our podcast, you heard a different song. The song is I'm Broken by Pantera, and that is the new opening for Power. For two reasons, I think. Number one, maybe Dokken, maybe the copyright ran out, who knows. Or now that Into the Fire is actually going to be a yearly pay-per-view for NWA, they probably don't want to put it on Power and get
that's what
confused.
I said when we did our podcast in the car the other day. That's what I
yeah, the car cast.
I said the car cast, exactly.
The car cast.
I like that. Yeah, I said that it could be the fact that maybe they're gonna, you know, Into the Fire is gonna be a yearly pay per view and they're just gonna use that song for that pay per view. I was a little disappointed. I like that song. I just I love that open with the song. I don't know. It almost feels like that song was written for the show. Whereas
I agree.
Pantera
you're right.
Song, maybe I got to get used to it.
I like
the fire was written.
Right. Yeah. I like the open until he sings, until the singing, and then I'm like, but the opening like riff of the song is actually pretty good. But I think our ears. It's like every 5-6 years when Raw always changed their open, we kind of had to get acclimated to it, you know.
Right.
So we get into the studio, and there's Joe Galli, who's alone. Stu Bennett is over by the table. Joe's over by Dave Marquez's little interview podium platform thing there. And in walks Tim Storm, Mama Storm's son. And next week on episode 18 of Power, he'll be taking on a member of Strictly Business, Tom Latimer, who they have now broken kayfabe. And even though Camille is like, you know, Nick Aldis's like business girl on camera, Tom Latimer and Camille actually go out in real life. So and he's Australian, I think, or British. I couldn't understand the accent. Anyway, he comes out. Anyway, he's facing Tom Latimer next week. And the big thing is Tim Storm has said, I want to be back in the world title picture. What happened on the first episode of Power is a bunch of horse shit. I want my taste of sweet Charlotte again. But on the other hand, there's a possibility that he may want to retire. And I had thought that after he lost to Ricky Starks in the semis of the TV tournament at Hard Times, I'm thinking, oh, he put over Ricky Starks, you know, Tim Storm's what, almost 50, maybe over 50. And maybe he's realizing it's all right. I had a good run. I was former world champion. I did the things I wanted to do in my wrestling career. Time for me to, you know, sit back and let someone else call be the man. Well, Tom Latimer and Camille come out and he pretty much says, no one cares what you think, old man, you're a broken down piece of crap. Then Joe Galli pretends someone's talking in his ear and out comes Mama Storm. The place went crazy, but it wasn't Mama Storm. It was some guy in a, with a British accent and a wig, and he was mocking him. I thought Tim Storm was going to fucking crush him, and he
did. Me too.
But that didn't happen. But
again, a little of that buildup. Okay, now I'm getting pissed. So you know that guy's going to get his eventually.
Oh, he will.
You know, but I mean, it's funny because, you know, the fans really like Tim Storm. I mean, he's not, you know, he doesn't have that awesome personality that's going to be in your face like an Eli Drake or even Lance Storm or whatever. But he.
James Storm.
He's like that old.
Although we do love Lance Storm.
Did I say Lance?
You said Lance Storm, actually. James Who's Storm. Awesome. But James Storm's Storm. Awesome, too. But Lance Storm is really good, too.
No, Lance Storm is kind of like Tim Storm.
There's a lot of fucking...
I don't want to say personalities. I'm just saying it doesn't have personality. Just he doesn't have that in-your-face style. But he's got that old-school baby face.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got the look. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm excited to see what they're going to do with it. I thought almost that Tim Storm was kind of going to go a little bit, just kind of like put people over and kind of go a little bit to the back there, you know, because he is a teacher by trade. But they're getting him back in the mix again.
Yeah. And so that match will be the headline match next week, episode 18 of Power. Tim Storm will take on Tom Latimer. We get a Crockett Cup promo as we get the clip from Hard Times when Stu Bennett.
I wonder why they don't have a location yet.
I don't know either. They said April. I'm assuming it's going to be the third or fourth weekend of April, because obviously the first weekend is WrestleMania weekend, and I don't know if they'll do Easter weekend. I mean, it might, but so we haven't figured that out yet, and they're not sure where it is yet, but it will be somewhere not in the studio, which is what you've been talking about. So we'll get more on that as time progresses. We get another clip from Hard Times between Alice and Kane Thunder Rosa. They're really pumping this match up for the main event tonight. Then out comes our world television champion, Ricky Starks, who will sit for our first actual match of the show. And that is Matt Cross, who was one of the transfers from Ring of Honor, taking on Caleb Conley. It was a good little match, a little quick, fast, fun match. I actually timed it. I'm OCD like that. The match was 5 minutes and 47 seconds. I couldn't stand not knowing the length, and it's hard to tell, you know, with the thing. So I actually use my phone. So Matt Cross wins in 5:47. I thought it was a really good match. Two fast guys. I have to say, I think we need, now that it seems like, gee, that they've stretched the length of the show, because the first few powers were usually between like 45 and 55 minutes. But I felt like we weren't getting enough wrestling. Now that it seems like they've stretched the shows out to over an hour, this episode was, I think, an hour and 10. I think we need more wrestling, and I was really excited to just see two guys go out there and have a good, solid television match. And Matt Cross is a great worker, good indie guy, and it was a nice match.
Yeah, it was. I enjoyed it, and again, it's kind of like that when we watched it on 605 on set. You know, like you'd always have that, you know, either star or whatever. There with an enhancement talent, that could work. I thought Caleb Conley did a nice job, and just to get over, you know, let people get familiar with Matt Cross that maybe don't know him from Ring of Honor. Let them, you know, introduce him more to the NWA audience.
The first time I ever saw Matt Cross was when you and I watched All In, not All Out, All In, the one from 2 years ago. And he wrestled one of the dark matches. So, but it's a good fun match, and he gets the win over Caleb Conley in 5:47. Then we get the clip from last week's Power when Nick Aldis and Marty Scurll sat, and Nick Aldis, the dealer, laid down the cards for what would be the main event of the Crockett Cup when Aldis puts the world's heavyweight championship on the line against Marty, where he pretty much told Marty, if you lose, you have to refund everybody in the arena their ticket with your own money, of course, mocking the fact that he just signed a big deal back with Ring of Honor. Then we get to, because obviously these shows are taped, so the only way you're going to freshen them up after things take place after the taping is obviously put a little edit interview. So we go to Nick Aldis, the world champion, from his house, and he kind of updates everyone on what's going on. He says he hasn't heard from Marty. It's been a week. I don't know what he's waiting for, but he dropped the hammer at the end of the promo this Sunday. So today, if you're listening to our pod as it dropped, today in Baltimore, ROH has a show called Free Enterprise. And in the main event is a tag team match. It is Villain Enterprises, so it's Marty and I think it's PCO. I don't think it's Brody King. I think it's PCO. Taking on Nick Aldis and Roosh in a tag match. And Nick said, on that show, I want your answer. Are you doing it or are you not doing it? Are you not going to put your money
where
your mouth?
What do you think that, you know, this is, again, this is what I think I'm loving about NWA compared to the other organizations, because you kind of predict it there. Like, I have no idea where they're going with this. Like,
I don't either.
Even, you know, because you put the stipulation out there that he's got to pay for everybody. So, you know, that really can't happen.
Well, listen, so I was listening very closely. Well, I was listening very closely. Well, I was listening very closely. And Nick said, listen, I'm a businessman. You're a businessman. We can negotiate. So that sentence there left the door open for Marty to counter with something maybe more manageable and maybe something more ambiguous.
That's why we keep you around here at Place to Be Nation.
Yeah, that's what I figure. It's that and edit, you know. So we'll see. That and editing and, you know, typing things on Google Docs. So we did get a Nick Aldis promo. He's not on site, but we did get an update. So today, Sunday, if you're listening to this as the show dropped, or if you're listening to it afterwards, the show took place this past Sunday. ROH Free Enterprise, this big the card is happening, and Nick Aldis is going to expect an answer from Marty Scurll on his proposal for the Crockett Cup.
Yeah, well, I'm excited. I can't wait to see where this goes.
Me too. We then get a montage of the last couple of episodes involving the Pope and Eddie Kingston and the Dawsons.
Love this storyline.
I do too. The Pope comes out with the Dawsons. I love the Pope. For some of you newer wrestling fans, if you remember in the mid-2000s, he was Elijah Burke, in case you're not sure. And then he was in Impact or TNA as D'Angelo De Niro. And of course, now he's the Pope. He was the Pope there too, actually. And the Dawsons say the Pope said the Dawsons took advantage of the opportunity I gave them. Eddie Kingston didn't want to, you know, go with my way of thinking with homicide on the shelf with injury. And then out comes your boy, Eddie Kingston. And he's like, I want to fight. And he was going through the whole thing. So this storyline is definitely gaining some steam. I have to say, Dr. Gene, I know you're a big Eddie Kingston guy. I feel like he's stunted a little bit. Like, I'm hoping that this, because he's definitely got a personality. He may be a little rough in the ring, but I'd like to think that this storyline will really build him and grow him into a legit character. Like, before I watched this, I had no idea who Eddie Kingston was except by name. He was in Chikara. Steve Willey told me a lot about him for years.
I never knew. I just loved the, you know, me, because I'm from New York. So I just love that New York attitude, you know, like the, I don't want to say thug. That's not really like the right word, but just like, you know, like doesn't
like
give,
a tough guy.
Doesn't
yeah.
give a shit.
Yeah, tough like, guy you know, hustler. Yeah, absolutely.
I love it. I think this, I hope this brings out something in him. No, is he a little rough in the ring? Of course he is. You know, again, a lot of these guys like the Trevor Murdochs, and they don't have the cut build. But I don't care. Like, you know, like if they could talk on the mic and they could do a little ring psychology, I don't care. You know, that I'm not into all that anymore. Like, you know, yeah, of course you like seeing the big, you know, muscular guys and, you know, the look, you know, it gives it a certain look, you know, like obviously the Pope has a great look to him, but Eddie Kingston's just that everyday guy that's pissed and, you know, wants to take people out. And that's what I enjoy about his character. And I think this hopefully will bring something out, because I think, like you said, I thought he was kind of, you know, really couldn't find his way. So right. I think now this might be a storyline that may bring it out. And, you know, and if with Homicide Hurt, I mean, I think that's part of his gimmick. So now he's got to kind of find his own way until Homicide comes back.
Yeah, no, that's true. Because the tag team division needs to be beefed up a bit as well. So
it does. It does need a little work.
Yeah. So, but you know what? A lot of shows, look, AEW's women's division is garbage. So every show, and WWE has their own issues. So every promotion has its blind spot right now. Then we get and I don't know if this is every week or not. This is kind of a, I don't know what this really is, but Mae Valentine, that's the side piece of Royce Isaacs. She has a daily vlog, or dairy. Did I type dairy? I think it's daily vlog. Yeah, it must be. Anyway, why did I type dairy? That's weird. Was she drinking milk? I don't know why I typed dairy, but anyway, she's does a daily vlog, and this is a couple minutes talking about she loves her friends in NWA and et cetera and et cetera, and talks about what happened last week when Royce Isaacs wrestled and what's his name, Sal. Renaro was kind of, you know, he was at the table with the sling. She was checking in on him. And of course, typical paranoia, you know, Randy Savage-ish to Elizabeth, although not as good, obviously. So she, you know, she did an update on that. I'll talk to you next week. So it was a cute little piece. Then we get our second match of the show and our first title match of the show. Aaron Stevens, or as our good man Stu Bennett says, Shooter Stevens. Defends the national championship, the third degree national championship.
The third degree.
Against our boy Trevor Murdoch. Fun match, back and forth. I gotta say, Aaron Stevens kind of showed me some good heel moxie, not just a gimmicky thing, but he actually dictated the tempo. And the match did go the full 10 minutes. So it was a good, nice, long match. It ended in a time limit draw. So Stevens retained the title, and then Murdoch ended it by giving him the top rope bulldog.
You know, Murdoch for a big guy, I mean, he kind of is. I know you thought that he was actually related to Dick.
Yeah, Murdoch. I really felt the kayfabe.
He wrestles and looks like him. He really does. I mean, Trevor Murdoch worked a lot with Harley Race. He worked a lot in Harley Race's promotion. I mean, they were really close. And Trevor's not bad in the ring. I know that, you know, he's be criticized a little bit when he was WWE, but he's really not that bad in the ring for a big guy.
No, he's not. No. Yeah, and I mean, look, he was a good tag guy. Like, you know, he was the grizzled guy when Lance Cade was the pretty boy. So, you know, he was just the tough guy that did the tough power moves. But I do think that he'll be a good hand in this company. But Aaron Stevens is a great – and, oh, the big thing about it was the referee tossed question mark because question mark got in front of Murdoch outside when he was going to go after Stevens, and the referee tossed him. So the question mark had to leave the ring. I feel like –
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say my one point was – and I want your answer to this anyway. But I feel like they've kind of curbed the question mark face thing because I feel like he's acting more and more heelish. And the crowd seems to be kind of letting that happen. So they're not. So I feel like question mark's not getting as many cheers as he had in the last, you know, maybe five or six episodes. What do you think about that? I think there's plenty of baby faces right now, and it's fine for Aaron Stevens has to really do something awful to question mark to really push the baby face thing over. But for now, I think they're going to be happy with him in that role.
Yeah, you know, there was a point I was going to actually bring up before. I noticed that myself is that it looked like they were going towards having. You know, the typical question mark, you know, turn on Aaron, you know, like turn face.
Right.
But now maybe they're feeling like you're saying, you know, maybe we just need some more heels. And again, not making it predictable. I mean, there's sometimes you're going to rehash storylines, wrestling storylines. It's gone on in wrestling for 60 years. You know, you're going to use the basic storyline that somebody else has used before. But that's fine. I mean, you're not going to be able to make up something new every time, but maybe they're going to push it off a little bit. And so again, nothing's happening. They don't have pay-per-views every single month. They don't have to rush everything. They could really draw a storyline out. And yeah, you're going to have he's going to have his underground following question mark. But I did notice he wasn't getting – I mean, he was still getting cheers, but not getting the cheers that he was getting in previous shows. And Aaron Shooter Stevens, I just enjoy his character. I mean, he is such a chicken shit heel. I love it. Mm-hmm. And I love your little note here saying that Aaron Shooter Stevens' initials are ass.
Yeah, well, that's what Joe Galli – because remember, Joe Galli said it and Stu Bennett goes, "What are you implying, Joe?" It's okay. I love when Stu Bennett gets grizzled.
Yeah, that's awesome. You're right. And I'm actually, you know, we were talking about this the other day in our car cast. I'm starting to get adjusted to Joe Galli and Stu Bennett. I think they work
I am
very
too.
Well together. Yeah. I think they do a pretty good job. You know, Joe Galli is a broadcaster, so he's very he's very smooth. He knows what he's saying, and you can tell he's becoming more and more familiar with the product because he's growing with the product.
Correct.
You know, like,
that's a good point.
This is all new.
Yep, you're
so
absolutely
I think,
right.
I think it's becoming organic for both of them. And Stu Bennett is definitely more comfortable as the weeks go on, or as the shows go on. I know they record a lot of them all one day, but you could just tell, and they're gaining a nice cohesiveness together. You could tell that they're getting familiar with each other. You know, just as Joe Galli was getting familiar with Jim Cornette, you know, all that happened. But I think Stu Bennett's done a really good job. I'm really enjoying both of them.
Yep, I agree 100%. And so Aaron Stevens is still your national champion as the match goes to a 10-minute draw. We get a little ad from Zicky Dice for the YouTube channel, so that was pretty cool. He says he'll do something outlandish.
Did you know Zicky Dice actually had a band? And Seth Rollins was a big fan of his band. And I think he might have trained a little bit with Seth Rollins. I don't, you know, I listen to a lot of podcasts myself. I heard this somewhere, so I'm not. This is not news. I'm not an insider anywhere. So somebody knows.
No, it's funny. Let me see if Zicky Dice has a. I don't think he does.
But apparently he was a band, and he always loved wrestling. And I think he was interested in getting involved in wrestling, just because he did have that personality and. Because we didn't, remember when he first premiered, we're like, who is this guy? And, but I think he's going to be a good, gimmick, in NWA. Again, needs some heels. So I have no problem with him being a heel at all. And playing off, you know, a little bit of his cockiness and his, showmanship. But I don't know. I mean, that's what I heard. I heard that Seth Rollins was a fan of his band. I don't know what his name of his band is or anything like that. I should have probably looked that up. I didn't do my homework like my co-host did here.
Well, you know, I didn't even know that, to be honest with you, but that's interesting. But anyway, he does a promo for the YouTube channel, which is probably pretty funny. I honestly thought Zicky Dice was just going to be like a throwaway guy, and in the end, he's actually probably a member of the company. So pretty interesting there.
You got to build guys. You see, with the storylines, they're just trying to throw little things here and there and get them involved in some kind of storyline and build it up. Because again, the show is only an hour every week, so you want to get certain storylines in there. But you're going to have to plant the seeds somewhere for other storylines in the future, because you do have a decent amount of belts for a small company.
Right, exactly.
You have to build them up somewhere.
Yeah, no, I agree. Well, they got five belts. I mean, they got the world title. They got a TV title. They have a U.S., the national title, which is their secondary belt, obviously. The tag and the women's belt.
Like,
so they're pretty loaded.
Murdoch. I can see Trevor Murdoch winning one of the secondary belts. I think, you know, I think eventually he does deserve it. And I think he's doing a nice job because, you know, at this point, he's kind of a veteran in this organization.
Yep, always big time.
I'm sure he's helping some of these guys. He may not look like that chiseled look that you're looking for, but he does remind me of Dick Murdoch. That's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I think we'll see a lot of that as they start to adjust their taping schedules and such. They're going to have to do more than just long tapings after pay-per-views. They're obviously going to have to do it more often. Then we get, I think this is where they're really going to use this guy a lot now, the 2-minute update with Sean Mooney. Unfortunately, we didn't get him sitting behind a bay of TVs or in the locker room. He was behind like the NWA space kind of escape or whatever. But he gave us some TV, some news notes. He talked about the ROH Free Enterprise show, which is happening if you're listening to this when it first dropped today.
And I like the two organizations hooking up. I think Ring of Honor is kind of struggling, and I think this is – and the NWA is just starting, so I think it's a good move on both.
I think the four smaller companies take away. Well, I'll get to this at the end of the show. But he talked about Free Enterprise and the whole Aldis Marty thing. He talks about the Lucky Seven, which is the special stipulation that goes with the TV title. Talking about Ricky Starks. If he successfully retains the TV title, either by victory or time limit draw, seven consecutive matches, he automatically gets a shot at the world's title. So he's one down because he beat Zicky Dice last week. So he's got six more to go. And he also told us that Melina has gone to the NWA, and she wants the next title shot, regardless of who wins later in the show. So that's very interesting. So the two-minute update with Sean Mooney is pretty awesome because
I mean, that's one of those you kind of saw that happen. Again, nothing wrong with that. But you could see that that happening. It's going to be interesting. Thunder Rosa definitely is a future big baby face for the women's division.
I agree. And, speaking of, I'll mention it now while I have it on my mind because I don't want to forget at the end. Shout out to the kid, to the NWA kid. Get better. She was battling the flu, I think.
Yes. I hope she gets better.
So follow her on Twitter, at KidNWA.
Nice little show.
Yeah, she does. So get well, kid. We're thinking of you. So after the update, we get to our next match, and out comes my favorite guys, our world tag team champions. They don't have a nickname yet, but it's James Storm and Eli Drake. Eli Drake's the, you know, athlete kind of guy with the personality. And then you got me, James Storm, who actually comes out to wrestle while drinking beer. I mean, it's the greatest thing ever. They take on Josephus and Mims, whoever the hell Mims is. We know who Josephus is. It's a pretty quick, like, TV squash, 3 minutes and 12 seconds. Nice, easy win.
James Storm is definitely your alter ego.
He is.
You're like Southern alter ego.
He's my spirit animal. But anyway, they get the win. We won't get
Yeah.
To that. Yeah. It is funny. Anyway, we won't get deep into that. It was a squash win. We got a chance to see the tag champs on camera, and that's cool. We get more clips from Hard Times. And finally, we get to our main event, the match we've been waiting all show for and the whole week for, the rematch from Hard Times. Thunder Rosa defends the Women's World Championship in the rematch against Allison Kay from Hard Times. She comes out alone. Marty Bell and Melina stay in the back. So she comes out by herself, and her and Allison Kay go to town. They're killing each other. I mean, I got to give – and Allison Kay is not a tiny wrestler. She's got some build to her. Not like Nia Jax build, but you know, she's not dainty. She's not like Alexa Bliss size. She's kind of in the middle. And they go all out. Great match. Not as good as Hard Times. I thought Hard Times was better. But this was good for TV. There is one match that – there was one spot that really irked me. And Allison Kay may have to be sat down and told this. There's a moment in the middle of the match where they're both standing in the middle of the ring. And it reminds me of a previous moment where somebody saw their – you know, you could see their spot called on camera. Allison Kay clearly says to Thunder Rosa, "Hit me." You see it. Hit me. And then Thunder Rosa hits her. Camera angle, it looked exactly like Ken Shamrock to Ryan Shamrock at In Your House St. Valentine's Day Massacre when he tells her, "Hit me." It was exactly the same angle. So whoever, if it was Dave or whoever, probably was like, "Oh, that wasn't good." So yeah, Allison Kay needs to be sat down and learned the subtleties of shock.
Yeah, calling. Especially in a studio show, because, you know, obviously it's, you know, you don't have as loud of a crowd and you know, it's just a little bit more noticeable, and you could tell. I mean, there's definitely, because of HD today and the way things are shot, you know, the studio shows, you really have to be tighter, and you could see some of the moves are a little more at times, like in some of the matches I could see a little choreographing going on where you could kind of tell a little bit. But I don't let that stuff bother me, because, you know, for the most part, the matches usually are very good. But yeah, I noticed that, you know, matter of fact, I read the notes. I had to go back. I wanted to go back and see it, because, you know, sometimes when I'm watching these shows, I'm at work and I have it in my ear and I'm just kind of like, so I did notice it. It was pretty blatant.
Yeah. Otherwise, the match was fine. Melina and Marty Bell finally come out. Then Tasha Steeles and Ashley Vox come out. So we're seeing at least the camera. I think Dave did this on purpose or whoever, to show us the entire women's division, which is small, growing, but small. Thunder Rosa wins with a roll up. The match is 9 minutes and 23 seconds. It was very good. And now we're seeing tension from another storyline. We were talking about it maybe happening with Aaron Stevens and question mark, but instead it's happening here. Thunder Rosa looks at Melina and Marty Bell and go, what the fuck? I told you I wanted to do this alone. Why are you here? So it sounds like it's almost like Thunder Rose is transitioning to being the shot caller in that group. And then she walks out and we're off the air. Your thoughts? First of all, your thoughts on the match.
The match was, besides that little snafu, I thought they working each other. I thought it was really good. You could see that they're, that they both ladies want to be the champ, and that's what you want in a championship match. You want to see that passion, and again, the women's division does need some, but I think Thunder Rosa is definitely heads and shoulders above everyone in that division, and I think obviously they're building towards Thunder Rosa versus Melina, which I think is smart. You know, Melina has the name, and I think it'll bring some credibility, more credibility to Thunder Rosa, and I think it'll be bring more credibility towards the women's division. And one thing the NWA is going to have some issues with is as these wrestlers become more popular, you're going to see the AEWs and the WWEs probably cherry picking from the NWA. So they're going to have to keep constantly bringing in new talent, and working with Ring of Honor is not a bad idea. So they're going to have to keep, I think you're going to have your core group that are just going to stay with NWA, but obviously they're not going to be able to compete with the contracts that the bigger companies are going to give. So they're constantly going to have to bring in guys. And I know they're doing their version of like a Tough Enough. And I think that's going to be very important to the success of the NWA going forward.
I agree.
I know it's kind of a long answer there, but I just wanted to tie it all in.
What I was going to say before, but I wanted to get into it after the show, was and I said this before, there are six major promotions right now in the world: WWE, AEW, NWA, Impact, ROH, and New Japan. They're the big six, and the four. Not minor ones, but the four North American, I guess minor from a North American viewpoint, because New Japan from a global viewpoint is not minor. But in this side of the world, they are. Obviously, WWE and AEW were the two big ones because they have the money that the other four don't. I'd like to see these four work together, not just NWA and ROH, but I'd like to see New Japan loan some talent. And I'd like to see them work with Impact and let those four work as kind of a collective. Yet separately. I think that would be really fun. Kind of like, listen, I'm watching Mid-South and world-class shows in my Chrono Watch on the network from 1984, and I can't tell one show from the other because Fritz and Watts were just firing guys off back and forth. There were weeks that I saw Skandor Akbar on both shows and The Missing Link on both shows and Killer Khan on both shows, and I'm like, why not do it now, So I think those four, I think that's where the rosters will be somewhat protected, because I think the talent pool, because right now the two main companies, WWE and AEW, have other things to worry about besides their roster. So I don't think they're going to pick anybody out anytime soon, which I think is good for the other promotions. So, all right, give me your MVP and your, or you, not your MVP, give me your highlight moment and your low light moment of this week's show.
Well, the low light moment was obviously the call in the ring.
Yeah.
It didn't ruin the whole match, but that was Bob Miller. I would say the highlight, honestly, I actually enjoyed the Pope and Eddie Kingston, because I think that they're building something there. I'm happy that it looks like they're going to start using Eddie Kingston a little bit more.
Right.
So I would say that was probably the highlight for me. I guess if you wanted to go with another highlight, I also am enjoying. I'm enjoying them bringing back Tim Storm into the mix. I don't know. There's something about him I like. I kind of like the old school baby face.
Mm.
My
highlight was James Storm drinking before getting in there. It's not. Because I get that every week. The Tim Storm promo, because I was surprised to see him come out and I was excited. Because I do think he's the top babyface right now. And I think a match, as much as Marty kind of is too, Marty, remember, is kind of more, invested in ROH because he's being paid by them. I do think Tim Storm will be world champion again at some point. I don't know when. Maybe at some point in 2020. Maybe whatever pay-per-view is after Crockett Cup. We'll see. Whatever. Maybe one in like July or something, or August. Probably July, I would think. Maybe June, but we'll cross that bridge. The called spot looked bad. It really looked bad. And someone's got to sit Alice and Kay down and talk about the subtleties of shot calling.
Yeah, I don't think you need to get crazy about it. I think she's just bringing it to our attention. I mean, you know, listen, it's going to happen. It happens to the best of them.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be too concerned.
And I liked seeing Matt Cross in that kind of opening match of just two solid guys putting on a good, nice 6-minute TV match just to kind of get the crowd jacked. I think NWA needs to do that more often on their shows. I feel like they don't do that enough. So there you go. There's this week's episode of Power that just happened. Episode.
I will say 17. Not to interrupt you. I would say the match I probably enjoyed the most was the Trevor Murdoch Aaron Stevens match.
That was a great match. And I feel like that's a good way to keep Stevens' title, you know, situation going. I wouldn't do title matches every week. You want to keep them special, except maybe Ricky Starks because he is the TV champion and that's the only TV show. But I wouldn't do the other titles that often. So, right. But to keep them special. So there you go. Next week, episode 18, looks like the only match we have set is Tim Storm taking on Tom Latimer from Strictly Business. I'm sure we'll get fallout from the Free Enterprise ROH show in Baltimore, and we'll find out Marty Scurll's response, hopefully, to Nick Aldis and the challenge at the Crockett Cup. Dr. G, always a pleasure. You can follow Dr. G's on Twitter, and as am I, at PTB Podfather. The Doctor will be on Main Event soon, I think. I think you're overdue for an appearance. We need the Doctor and the Godfather. That's bandwidth that no one can – that's just high-premium bandwidth right there. The Doctor and the Godfather on the same show. you and I will be recording this week over on the Pop Feed our next episode of The Year in Pop with Mr. Atherton and Johnny D'Amato. We're up to the 80s now. We're into the decade of the 80s. 1980 is our next episode.
Yeah, I can't wait.
So now we're getting into some stuff that people may actually remember besides us. And we barely remembered it because we were drooling. Of course, new episode of Place Be Podcast this week. Myself and JR will be doing the April 1990 MSG House Show. We won't tell you who the guest is. We'll let you find out. There'll be a new main event this week also. God, what the fuck else do I have? I think that's it. I'm tired of talking. Doctor, always a pleasure. For the Doctor, I am Scott. Continue enjoying power, and we will talk to you next week. He's the Doctor. You're not.
Ciao.